And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin. Shalom, Rabbi Galperin.
How are you, Ilan?
I'm good. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, thank God. Everything is going great. You know, we're having such a nice parshiyot, you know, that we finished, that we've done, and now we're continuing, and with all the laws, and so it's exciting. You know, there's a lot of different interesting, actually very very interesting laws in the Torah portions that are coming up, and hopefully we'll try and tackle some of them.
Yeah, so with Parashat Mishpatim.
Mishpatim, that's correct.
And it starts with Ve'ele HaMishpatim Asher Tassim Lifneim.
Correct, and these are the judgments that you will place before them. In other words, the Jews.
Yeah.
And we see that the following the revelation at Sinai, Mount Sinai, God legislates a series of laws, you know, for the people of Israel. These include the laws of indentured servants. Which I'll explain in a second, you know, the penalties of murder, kidnapping, assault, theft. Also, it's brought down civil laws pertaining to the granting of loans and the rules governing the conduct of justice by courts of law. Now, indentured servant is if a person has a servant for 6 years, you are entitled to have a servant that period of time for 6 years. After the 6th year, you have to let him free.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't want to go free, you have to bang a nail, an earring into his ear, and through that he becomes your servant forever. Now also included are laws warning against mistreatment of foreigners, the observance of the seasonal festivals, which obviously are in regards with the Holy Temple in Eretz Israel, in Israel.
Yeah.
The prohibition against eating and
meat
and milk.
Yeah.
And also the mitzvah of prayer. And God promises to the people of Israel that he will bring them to the promised land. He will bring them to the Holy Land. And when he brings them there, he's warning them against assuming the pagan ways of its current inhabitants, which obviously weren't ways that were going in the Torah way. And the people of Israel proclaim, we will do and we will hear all that God commands us. And, you know, Moses then ascends Mount Sinai and remains there for 40 days and 40 nights, where he received the Torah from God. Now the question is really, is what is the purpose of commandments? Why do we need commandments? What do they benefit us? What can we gain in our lives from it? We have to understand, what is the real purpose of a commandment? And one explanation is brought down in the teaching of the sages, is to simply just to be able to refine people. The commandments of the Torah are intended to having a civilizing effect on the Jewish people, to refine who we really are, to refine the nature of us, to refine our actions, and to refine who we are supposed to be. And in the Hasidic teachings, it explains that there are two aspects to our inner personality. One of them is our divine soul, a spiritual spark within us, which is described as a portion of godliness. We have a spark in Nefesh Eloki, a godly soul. And this comes into the world with a special task. And the Torah and the commandments, the mitzvot, are their instructions of how to fulfill that task of our soul coming down.
Yeah.
So the soul is to come down without the insights from the Torah, without doing the mitzvot. What's the purpose of the soul coming down? How can we make the soul do its full duties of what it's supposed to be doing? And also, in order to understand the nature of this task, we have to consider, you know, the second feature of our inner world, the animal soul. This is the force within us, with every single person, which wants to live, to eat, to possess, and guided by the Torah, by the Bible, we have to make the attempt, we have to make, obviously, the attempt to purify and refine the animal soul, which means what? In fact, that we have to try to control and even transform the basic characteristics of our human nature. We have a nature to want to eat. We have one steak, we want to have now five steaks. We need to be able to control that. No, we can't have five steaks. It's not good for our health, not good for who we are.
Yeah.
So we have one or two steaks. We have to be able to control that.
And if you have leftovers, give it to the dogs.
Exactly. If you have a dog.
Yeah.
Now, if a person observes the directives of the Torah, so he or she experiences a program of training and it improves our character of who we are. For example, let us consider, let us talk about one thing, for example, the law of kosher, eating kosher. Now this week's Torah reading includes the law that we should separate meat, milk and meat. And quite rightly, this and other aspects of kashrus, of keeping kosher, are often thought as, you know, developing the virtue of self-control. Because obviously kosher, you have to have a little bit of self-control. And also not taking anything for granted. You know, the question is it kosher? The question one asks before taking a mouthful. Is this kosher what I'm eating? Of course, the effect of such a law is, you know, if you think about it, far broader than simply our attitude to food. Okay, is the food kosher? Very nice. But we gradually learn to ask about everything in life, is it kosher? You know, while I'm talking on the phone, it reminds me, I was in an office, and a person, you know, was arguing with, it was a government office, and the person was arguing with one of the ladies, they, you know, said, no, you can't do this way, you have to do it that way, and I can't give it to you now. I think he was looking for a document, and I wasn't listening to the conversation, but I overheard the word kosher, and I was like, huh? And I kept on listening, and the person was asking this lady, you know, is it going to be kosher, you know, if I don't have this paper and I want to go try and work? And I was thinking, saying that the word kosher doesn't only go on the fact of, is this food kosher, but it's more like, is it kosher, is it a right thing to do? Is it something that is proper or appropriate for me to be doing?
Yeah.
And it was interesting when I heard that, I was like, wow, it gave me a total different, you know, understanding of what the word actually kosher means, you know, besides, oh, is it kosher, is it food, is it this, is it that, but more of the fact is it's becoming a very, very refined word. Is it a kosher thing to do it this way? You know, I don't want to get into trouble. So, kashrut, kosher, is the law between the person and God. And by contrast, the majority of the teaching in our Torah portions, in this week's Torah portion specifically, are termed laws between a person and another person and their fellow.
Ben Adam and Chaverot.
Correct. And they focus on questions concerning human relationships. Slaves, you know, foreigners, loans, courts, kidnapping.
Yeah.
So here too, and perhaps even more obviously, we see the commandments have an intended effect. What am I trying to say? For example, the Torah tells us that if you meet your enemy's ox going astray, you shall surely return it to him. That's what the Torah says.
Yeah.
And if you see the ox of a person you hate crouching under its burden, you shall not avoid the situation, but help him release it. Now this is where we're talking about your enemy. And Maimonides, which is the Rambam, points out in his great work of the Mishnah Torah, that the Torah also commands us to help a friend. And I quote what it says in the Torah, you shall not see your brother's ox fallen down by the way and hide yourself from them. You shall surely help him lift them up again.
Yeah.
Now, if the Torah demands us that we help our friends and also our enemies, what should we do, if you think about it, if we meet both, we happen to be walking on the street, and we meet both, we meet our enemy and our friend together, and they both have an animal that is overburdened and needs help, Who do we help? Do we help our friend? Do we help our enemy? And Maimonides, which is the Rambam, says, one should first help the animal of one's enemy. And the reason is, he goes on to say, that in order to curb our evil inclination. Why? How does that happen? If I go and help my enemy, how am I curbing my evil inclination? Because the Rambam says that it is more of an achievement in curbing our nature to help an enemy than to help a friend.
Okay.
Hence, if you think about it, helping an enemy comes first. Contrary to a lot of people that would say, you know what? No, if you have an enemy and a friend, sure, who do you think you're going to help? You want to go and help your friend.
Of course.
You don't care what the enemy is going to say. So you won't see your enemy tomorrow. Your friend you're still going to see. But he says, no, you need to first help your enemy before you help your friend. So, now if you think about it, so following the guidance of the Torah helps us transform our own character. And what we're doing is we're creating a genuine form of civilization. And the next step, which God will implement, is a kind of chain reaction of inner transformation, which ultimately will affect the entire world. For me to go and help my friend doesn't take much. I don't have to work on myself. I don't have to curb my evil inclination. It's easy. I go help my friend. What a great reward. But when I need to go and curb my evil inclination to go and help an enemy, that's when I'm overcoming and I'm transforming my characters of who I am as a human being.
Yeah.
Because that is one of the things that we learn, that which is if you think about it even further, is an example to what we have in us. We have the divine soul and we have our animal soul. The divine soul, sometimes for me to serve God and, you know, lie in bed and think about God or pray to God, is not as hard as if I overcome a desire, a wanting, and I overcome it and I don't do it. You feel great about it because you're literally transforming the human nature. And that's why commandments are so important. To be able to teach us that not only do we have to be able to serve Hashem, to serve God, but it's also to refine us, to make us better people, to make us a better nation, to make the surroundings around us, the civilization, a lot better. And that's one of the things that I thought was, while I was reading the Pasha this morning, but I thought was very, very interesting, at least to me.
It is.
So that's in regards to this week's Torah portion. And Shabbat candles is, we light this week, as time is going up, is 5:22.
5:22.
So we're 5:22, so we're moving up in time.
That's good.
And services are 6 o'clock, and everyone's invited on Shabbat morning at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Okay.
Yep, bright and early.
Rabbi, I wanted to thank you, like every show, for your time and knowledge.
Thank you. I appreciate you asking me to do it, and I also thank you for bringing all this to, you know, to Windsor. It's a beautiful thing that, you know, you can turn on the radio, and Windsor, out of all places that you think,
yeah,
that you're able to hear Jewish music and Yiddish music and Sephardic music and whatever type of music you want to hear. You turn in. It's beautiful.
And it's not just the radio. On CJM you can hear it through the internet as well, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
Yeah, and you can hear it. And you can hear our interviews on the website of Shaarei Tzedek.
Yeah, that's true.
That's it.
That's true.
We're covered.
we're spreading Judaism all over the world, and not only Judaism. We're spreading goodness and kindness through the whole world. That's coming out of Windsor.
That's important.
Yeah.
That's good. So, Rabbi, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom to you. And thank you so much, and God willing, we'll speak next week.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, be well.
Be well.
Okay, bye.